Yo, and welcome to the Mascot Wedding Show. My name is Mac.
Hey, there I am.
There you are.
Yeah. And I'm David, and you're listening to the Mascot Wedding Show on KOOP 91.7 Hornsby, Austin. And we've got a good show for you, I think.
Yep.
I hope.
We're your hosts for this Thursday's installment. This Thursday day installment of it.
That's right. The fastest 30 minutes in radio.
Yep. 30 minutes of your phone calls and our discussion. It's a show where we try and reach out to the community and talk about what's going on. And anytime you want to call in during this Open Phone Thursday edition of the Mascot Wedding Show, please do so. The phone number is... jeez.
Can you do it? Can you do it?
Give me the first number.
Four.
Four. Oof, no. What's the second number?
Seven.
Four, seven.
Four and seven.
I'm going to give me the third number.
Two.
472 KOOP or 472-5667.
You got it.
There you go. All right.
That took just a minimal amount of coddling.
Yep. So anytime you want to call in. 472-5667.
Hey, look at you.
I know. Just you teach a man to fish. Thanks to Chuck Freeman for another edition of Soul Talk.
That's right.
The show that mixes politics and religion.
And as a dedication to him, I dedicated the song that we just played. That was Kelly Stoltz with If You Ever Thought of Coming Back off the album Below the Branches.
Good transition.
Yeah.
Have you been practicing transitions at home?
No, I had one song that that referred to anything even remotely non-satanic.
Oh.
And I figured I'd play it just to make nice.
I think that's actually covered under the Soul Talk umbrella.
Yeah.
Satanism?
I
don't know. 472-5667, 472-KOOP.
Do you get your tiptoe shoes on, Mac? Do you want to tiptoe around that subject?
I'm walking the line, got to stay in bounds, score a touchdown. So how are you feeling today, David?
I'm feeling pretty darn good.
You good, Slugger?
I'm not good.
What?
I'm great.
No, you got me. No.
Did I shoot you with an arrow?
You did, right through the heart.
Oh.
Man, so weekend's coming up, isn't it?
It is, yes.
A lot of good stuff at the box office. I think it's time for the Mascot Wedding weekend movie preview.
Ooh.
I think No Country for Old Men opens this weekend.
That's right, yes.
Starring Javier Bardem.
Yes.
As an insane killer.
With the most adorable haircut. So I don't know how seriously I'm going to be able to take him.
I'll never look at Dutch Boy paint the same way again.
Yeah.
Why don't we paint the room with this paint, Mac? I don't want to be in the same room as that paint. Sleeping at night, looking at those Dutch boy walls, not knowing what's going to happen. And then also, I think Love in a Time of Cholera also comes out, a romantic drama starring Javier Bardem. That's right.
Is this his? Is this the year he finally takes over the world?
I don't know. It just seems like an odd, like, his agent, did he know that going in? Like, all right, we really want to just, you know, make your mark in the American market. So this weekend, it's either, you know, like, women will like you, or, you know, men will like you or whatever, you know, because you're so romantic and Love in the Time of Cholera. Or he gives people cholera. I don't really know. Or people are going to look at you and they're going to run and lock their children indoors.
You know, I feel bad for him because they probably filmed these movies years apart. Like, Love in the Time of Cholera was probably like 05, and I know No Country for Old Men was 06. And so he's waiting in his agent's office like, well, is there any word yet? Like, when are they going to release him? Like, we got good news and less good news.
That was a horrible Javier Bardem impression. It just sounded like you, like you're doing your normal voice.
Okay, wait. Should I do a, should I try one?
If you want to. You got some cred.
Oh, should I? Oh, no, no. Okay. Oh, what's the good news? That's my Javier Bardem.
Can we get that on a drop? Can I just, what's the good news? Like, if somebody calls in, we can just press that button.
Yeah, we could do that.
And it would be, it would play What's the Good News. Boop, boop, boop.
One.
Give me, yeah, I know, buddy. Jeez.
So, let's see, what else? So, Javier Bardem is taking over the world, as we've learned. And Southland Tales.
Oh, Southland Tales.
I am looking forward to so much.
Somebody told me that movie was good, and I just can't see that coming.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when you read the plot or whatever...
Yeah,
and,
that's wrong.
That's the wrong track, yeah. There we go.
Oh, now who knew what?
Well, okay. All right.
Now who knew what?
This apparently is rookie time over here in seat one when it comes to playing some music. What was I going to say, though? Oh, yeah, Southland Tales. So Southland Tales, the guy who directed Donnie Darko, it's his follow-up, Richard Kelly. That's his name.
Yeah.
And if you hear about like the plot and you see the cast, it's got The Rock, it's got Stifler playing twins, Sarah Michelle Gellar, John Larroquette, Sherry O'Terry, Amy Poehler, Justin Timberlake. Like, it just seems like this is a horrible. John Lovitz.
What are you talking about? Wallace Shawn, Kevin Smith.
Oh, Kevin Smith is like a double amputee, like war veteran.
Yeah. He's in like hours of makeup. Like, oh, I can't wait to see it.
And I don't know why, but I had this like sort of perverse attraction to this movie. Like, they had prequel comics.
Yeah.
Like, he wrote three prequel comic books, Richard Kelly. And I read all three of them. And it's just such a mess, like such an ungodly mess. And I just can't imagine how bad this movie is going to be. And so I really want to go see it, which is weird because I just know it's going to, you know, crawl into my stomach and lay eggs. Like, I just know it's going to be that uncomfortable.
Now, as you know, I hate money and I am willing to throw it at anything that will waste my time and hard-earned dollar.
Can you give an example? For instance, how many Saw movies have you seen?
I've seen all four of
them. You're a sad man.
I went and saw four in the theater, as a matter of fact. Oh. And so that's an even bigger waste because...
Was that like a joke?
No. Well, like, we wanted it to be. Like the
No. That Saw 4, were you trying... Was that something?
No.
Okay.
Well, I can't.
Can you watch that? Let's just not make puns here on the show.
It wasn't a pun. It was just an unfortunate...
I think that's what you're trying to do. I think you're trying to make a pun.
I wasn't trying to make a pun. I was just trying to
an anecdote. I don't think anyone really appreciates that.
Well, I don't care. I wasn't doing anything.
472-5667.
All right.
472-KOP. Call in if you don't appreciate David's puns. I don't. I don't like them. Trying to do a higher class of entertainment here. He's bringing us down to... We should call him Pigpen over there.
Why Pigpen?
Because you're bringing us down to like your level. You're living in... And filth. You're eating slop out of a, what do you call that?
Slop bucket?
No, it's like the
trough.
Trough. Good job, buddy. All right. What were we saying? Southland Tales?
Southland Tales. That's the second time this week that's happened where, for the life of me, I couldn't figure out the name of something.
Oh, I thought you were specifically the word trough.
No. Okay. I believe, actually, I was having a conversation with you yesterday about a... let's not talk about that.
All right. Southland Tales.
Yeah, Southland Tales.
You hate money, and so you're probably going to throw it away in this movie.
I will definitely go. However, those aforementioned comic books that you aforementioned.
Yes.
You gave those to me. And those how big are those? How big are those comics?
They're like 72 to like 96 pages or something like that.
Like total or each?
Each.
Okay.
So,
but they're comics.
They're comics. And then like parts of them just have like script excerpts. So yeah. A pretty light read.
Pretty light read. I haven't read them.
Well, you know what? You're not missing anything. Like, I don't know why. Like, hey, David, these are horrible. You'll hate them. And they'll prepare you for an even worse movie, probably.
But you know how much I love horrible.
Read them and get excited. Yeah, but reading is a little bit. It's a bit more effort, let's be honest, than the average person is willing to.
I've just given it up entirely.
Yeah. But you know what? One person I know saw it and they said they liked it, but I haven't read any reviews. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really curious. Man, have you heard about that that Writers Guild strike?
Speaking of entertainment,
or
lack thereof. That's kind of a bummer.
It is kind of a bummer. So I think tonight's Office is the last one because Steve Carell, who's not, I don't know if he writes for that show or not, but he didn't cross the picket line to act in it anymore. I remember Tina Fey, I saw a little interview with her. Tina Fey, who writes for 30 Rock and also stars and produces it. She said that they had five episodes written that they still had to produce, and she still had to, like, even if they were striking that day, had to go in the next day to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
But because she said they would, like, sue them or something, you know, sue her if she didn't act, even though she was crossing a picket line, if you will.
Yeah.
But I guess Steve Carell's got a little bit more clout or something. I guess he's like, it's like, you know, screw you, NBC. If The Office fails, Dan in real life, too. Here I come.
Well, he's got that fat Madagascar money.
Heaven almightier. maybe that Get Smart will just have sequel after sequel after sequel.
Yeah, people kept coming back to Get Smart. That's why it's such a TV institution.
Did you know they're making a movie out of that?
I did.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Does anyone even remember it? I guess I do.
I remember it.
Nick at Night?
Yeah.
Little Dobie Gillis. When's that movie coming out?
Wow, Dobie Gillis.
Who would star in the Dobie Gillis movie?
You know what? I think Bob Denver's not doing anything. Well, besides decomposing, I think.
I think
that's kind of unfortunate. I completely forgot he died.
Oh, he is dead.
Yeah.
Nope. We got. You want to take this? I don't know.
Go for it.
No, we started talking about Dobie Gillis. That seems like a bad sign. All right. KOP, you are on the air.
Yes, I have a question. Do you think there will be a birth of a new form of television that is all improvisational due to the writer's strike?
No, I don't.
Okay, and second of all...
Don't be that. Yes, of course there's going to be.
Okay, and how can, I don't know who's who, but one guy called the other guy Pigpen, yet that's the guy that read those freaking prequel comic books. So, like calling the Pigpen the Pigpen. That's all I got to say. Thanks,
nice.
Guys.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What's your name,
whoa,
caller?
Whoa.
You all hung up on me. Oh, is that how you're going to play that, huh? Call me Pigpen, saying I'm bringing the show down. I live in my own filth.
Hang on. If I may open up the journal real quick. Dear Journal, Episode 2, David equals good cop, Mac equals scum.
This is why we get callers' names when they first call in, so we can track them down and show them what's what.
Well, sorry. Who answered that call?
I did.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Mac equals scum, underline, underline,
yeah,
underline.
I guess I do. I guess that's the way it's going
to
be.
But to answer that guy's question, he actually brought up a good point.
David derailed.
Unprofessional. The last writer's strike in 1988 is kind of attributed to a lot of the reality television that spawned a lot of the other reality. Like, writer's strike hits in 88, along comes Cops, and along comes America's Most Wanted, and along comes America's Funniest Home Videos. And then those begat Real World, and then those begat Road Rules, and then those begat other things. So really, the writer's strike in 88 kind of spawned reality television as we know it. So I'm kind of curious slash scared as to what it's going to create now.
Thanks a lot, writers, wanting your fair amount of money.
How dare you get your due.
Look what you've doomed us to. Well, we got to take a break here. We'll be right back with more Mascot Wedding Show on KOOP 91.7 FM. Hey, how's it going? And we're back here on the Mascot Wedding Show on 91.7 FM. KOOP Austin. We were talking about the writer's strike and what dreadful apocalypse will befall us because of it. And also callers were calling in, calling me low, calling me a substandard human. I don't appreciate that. Oh, here's another one. See where this leads us. KOOP, you're on the air.
Hey, am I on the air?
Yeah, who is this?
Yeah, hey, it's Mitch Gavin.
Hey, Mitch, what can I do for you?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to Pigpen.
You're a funny guy, Mitch. Funny guy.
That guy's, wait, are you Pigpen or the other guy? I thought the other guy was Pigpen.
I was called Pigpen by another caller, if that's what you're referring to.
Oh, no, you're all wrong about the writer's strike. I want to talk to the guy who's right on about the writer's strike.
Well, what's your take on the writer's strike?
I think it's great. I think we're going to get all kinds of great new shows from it.
Like, yeah, but I mean, so you think the writers thing is going to get resolved and new shows will come out of it? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think it's a good time for reality TV.
Oh, reality TV.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, I say that because I happen to be in the reality TV business and I'm doing pretty great.
Oh, really? What do you do?
Yeah. I work for the Crunch Network.
The Crunch Network?
Yeah, you know, the network by dudes for dudes.
Oh, right. That's on like... it's like one of those DirecTV channels.
Yeah, I think it's like Channel 718 in Austin.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it is.
So what do you do for the Crunch Network?
I am the regional co-head of reality programming.
Oh.
Yeah, and we're doing a bunch of shows right here in town. We're shooting a bunch of stuff now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Like what kind of stuff are you shooting?
You might have seen our crews around town, yeah.
What kind of stuff are you shooting around town?
I don't know. Have you seen all the taxi cabs rigged up with camera equipment?
No.
Well, look harder next time. That's us.
Okay.
We're in a show called Taxi Cab Treasure.
Taxi Cab Treasure. What's like the premise of the show?
Well, it's a reality show. It's kind of like a game show,
okay.
Like a competition. It's about people trying to recover a briefcase full of cash from the back of a taxi cab.
Oh, okay, so it's like a game show. Do they have to like solve? I mean, do the contestants have to like solve puzzles or like figure out clues in order to get to the right taxi cab or something like that?
No. They just have to grab the cash out of the taxi cab and they get to keep it if they can take care of the other contestants and the taxi cab driver and get away scot-free.
What do you mean, take care of the contestants and the taxi cab driver?
I don't know, like eliminate them from the competition.
Well, how do you eliminate someone from the competition? Do you like score a certain amount of points more than them or
no,
something?
No, you just fight them.
You fight them?
Yeah. You know, whatever you got, bare knuckles, pipes, bicycle chains to the death, whatever. You just fight them.
Whoa, hold on. So contestants have to fight each other and a taxi cab driver in order to get prizes out of the back of a taxi cab.
Yeah, it's a pretty big prize. It's a briefcase full of cash. That's not too bad.
Well, it may not be that bad. Now, I mean, these people have like protection and like, you know, gear on, right?
No, they got what they got.
Oh my gosh. Now, is the taxi cab driver, I mean, is he like an American Gladiator style person? I mean, is he also, you know, trained to deal with this kind of onslaught, if you will?
No, he's just a dude. He's just a taxi cab driver.
I mean, does he know at least that he's going to be attacked?
Oh, no. Who would drive a taxi cab around town knowing that there's a briefcase full of money and people coming out to get them? No, of course he doesn't know.
This sounds like a very dangerous show. It sounds very irresponsible.
It's incredibly dangerous, and that's why people watch it.
Well, I don't think this is going to get picked up.
We just got picked up for 13 episodes. Of course it's going to get picked up. People love it. It's the thrill of the chase.
Well, this doesn't sound like has anyone gotten hurt?
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends on what you consider hurt.
Well, no, you were very enthusiastic right there. What do you mean? All right, well, what do you consider hurt?
What do I consider hurt? Like comas or something. If somebody gets into a coma, then we're concerned.
Has anyone broken a limb?
Yes. But not many.
Okay. Has anyone...
We had one guy break many, but everybody else has kind of broken a limb, like an arm, a leg, or a hip.
This is horrible. Is it possible that someone could break these limbs and then leave the show with nothing?
Well, if they don't get the cash. We actually had one guy use a fragment of his bone as a weapon, like in 300.
Where are you getting people to sign up for the show? This sounds insane. Do people know what they're getting into when they do this show?
They get an idea after a while.
After
you know where do you know where Sunken Valley is?
Yeah, Sunken Valley, Texas. I live out there.
Yeah, right there outside of Austin.
Yes.
Do you know that club on the corner of Patton and Rommel?
Patton and Rommel. I don't know of a club. There's like a homeless shelter there though.
The one with all the guys hanging outside.
Yeah, that's a homeless shelter. That's where you're getting contestants?
I'm not going to get into their personal situation. It's a club.
So these are homeless people that are beating each other up.
Yeah.
For
prizes?
Oh, I don't know. This is a bad show.
All right, fine. You don't like it. It's not your cup of tea. That's fine. Well, I've got other shows.
All right, what other shows do you have going on?
I got a show called The Fraternity.
Oh, so it's like a reality show about a fraternity, like follows them around, that kind of thing.
It's about the first part of the fraternity.
The first part of a fraternity? You mean like pledging or something like that?
No. After the pledging.
After the pledging?
Yeah.
You mean like when they're living in the house together, I guess?
Before that.
Before that. I don't know that much about fraternities. What's before that?
Well, you know how, like, in order to be in the fraternity, you have to go through, like, a night of, like hazing and initiation?
Yes.
Yeah, we do that. It's like a game show. They have to go through one night of initiation into this fraternity.
That stuff is sometimes kind of sleazy, though.
It's kind of very sleazy if we do it right.
I mean, I'm surprised even that the frat is letting you that kind of access. Usually, you know, the whole thing about that kind of abuse is it's very secretive.
Well, we give them a lot of Sierra Mist.
All right. I don't really know.
We got their whole house rigged up with, like, those machines, like in Big, when he threw the sock at it and Pepsi came out. We got those, but with Sierra Mist.
Well, what kind of stuff goes on in these initiations?
You know what? It's probably best if you watch the show. I don't know what kind of standards you got for air quality. I don't know if I could tell you everything.
Well, all right. Well, be careful on the radio here, but can you give us an idea, though, like a vague idea? Does anyone get hurt?
No. Nobody gets hurt. People get the feelings hurt. People get embarrassed.
Well, that happens all the time on reality TV. That's fine.
Yeah, like there's one episode where we make the pledges act like monkeys.
Oh, you mean they got to, like, you know, dance around and make monkey noises?
Keep going.
Keep going. They got to eat a lot of bananas or something?
Keep going.
I don't understand what you're getting at then.
You know how monkeys don't wear clothes?
Yes. Oh, yeah. See, the pledges have to walk around naked.
Keep going.
I don't know. I don't know where you're trying to you're lead me here.
You know how humans use toilets?
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
All right. No. No, we're not going there. I'm just going to stop you right there. That does not sound good.
It sounds great.
No, it doesn't. Look, I don't like these shows. You know.
But I guess you wouldn't like my other show.
What's your other show?
Two Girls, One Bucket.
Oh, I don't even want to know about that.
It's kind of like the other one that I just told you about.
No. I don't want to hear this. No. No, sir. No, I don't like these shows, Mitch. I mean, these fraternity people that you're probably tricking into, do they even get anything if they win?
Yeah, they're in the fraternity. They get to be in the fraternity.
What kind of prize is that? It sounds like, you know, you're probably amping it up a little bit. How's that a prize?
It's good for networking.
All right. Well, I don't know about that.
Make a lot of business contacts. Half of the people at the Crunch Network were in a fraternity.
Okay. Well, what if, I mean, you don't feel any sort of responsibility putting these shows on the air where maybe like a child could watch this stuff?
We hope the children are watching.
You hope children are watching these shows? These are not appropriate for children.
Yeah. You don't think fraternity is appropriate for children?
Not the way you're describing it.
It's about growing up. It's about becoming an adult.
How is this becoming an adult?
You know, sometimes life's going to get you down, and sometimes you got to act like a monkey.
All right. Well, Mitch, I tell you what, I'm going to have to let you go.
Why are you going to let me go? I thought we were just talking about television shows.
Yeah, we are, but the time is up, and I got to be honest with you. I don't really care for your brand of television here.
Well, can I pitch another show to you?
Yeah, real quick.
It's called Who Wants to Beat Up the Host of a Public Access Radio Show?
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like the idea of that. Are you threatening me? Is that a threat?
I'm not threatening you, but if some gentlemen were told that you're holding diamonds, and they were to try to get those diamonds from you.
And who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them I'm holding diamonds? Who? I wonder who that's going to be. It's going to be you, isn't it?
No. It's going to be my production assistant.
Oh, okay. I see how it goes.
We're going to go to the corner of Patton and Rommel and tell those guys outside the club.
Oh, all right. You're going to tell homeless people that I have diamonds so they'll steal. That. You know what? I hope all your shows fail, okay?
I hope you fail.
All right. Well, I'm not.
In life.
Okay. That's great. Well, you know what, Mitch? Good day to you. Oh, I guess he hung up. That's just great. No respect. First I get called a pig pen, and then this reality TV show guy threatens me. It's awesome. Well, it's another fantastic way to close out this week's edition of the Mascot Wedding Show. For David Hatta, my name is Mac Blake. You can visit us on the web if you want to at mascotwedding.com. Stay tuned for the next show on New Power Thursdays, Slappy Pinch Bottoms, Odd Preoccupation. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been KWP Austin. Here's some spoon.